This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio's Meals on Wheels program is not an exaggeration, it is a lifeline for thousands of older adults and people with disabilities who depend on daily nutritious meals and a friendly face to stay healthy and independent. But that lifeline is under strain. The nonprofit recently lost a major source of government funding, foreseeing painful cutbacks to routes and services, even as the demand continues to grow. Although, in response, local businesses like HEB and Bill Miller Barbecue, they have stepped forward with emergency donations to help close the gap. But still, the future remains uncertain. That emergency funding can only go so far. Joining us now is Vincent Ferris, the CEO of Meals on Wheels San Antonio, to talk about how this funding shortfall is affecting people that they serve, what's being done to fill the gap, and how the community can help. And Vincent, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you are a person who has relied on Meals on Wheels, or if you have volunteered with them, if you can tell us some context about how they are an important part of San Antonio, we'd love to hear from you, 833-877-8255. So can you start off by telling us what happened? How did the funding stream with these federal dollars, why do they go away? How much money are we talking about?
We were planning for flat funding with this federal pass-through funding stream. And so we were counting on right at $3.2 million on this. This comes from the Older Americans Act. It's appropriated annually by Congress. And they, in turn, it goes through the Department of Human Services down to Texas at the Health and Human Services Commission, and then here locally to the Alamo Area Council of Governments. So we were planning on that. We had been given every indication that that was where we would be standing this year. But unfortunately, when it came time to see what was actually available, it was just $2 million. And so that was a real eye-opener and a real wake-up call. We had to do something quick. And so I've been in the world of Meals on Wheels for 35 years, and never before have I had to suspend services to any client due to lack of resources. But we had made plans to suspend services to 350 individuals across Bexar County.
How did you decide who got cut?
All of our the individuals who receive Meals on Wheels benefit from Meals on Wheels. There is no question. But what we were looking at is those that were the least needy of the needy. And we go through a scoring process when we do our assessments. And so it was really based upon that these 350 were selected. But as you mentioned there, the community came forward and said, hey, we want to help. Let's don't do that. And so for right now, we're not having to, because the San Antonio community has generously responded. And so we're going to be able to keep these on for many months to come.
But, you know, as we know, the future becomes on top of you pretty quickly. And so we're concerned about, you know, what happens when these rescue dollars that you got from HEB and Bill Miller, you know, run out.
Right. We have had to make great pullbacks in the way we do our services the last couple of years. Ideally, we would be serving a hot meal 7 days a week. We've never been able to get it past 5 days. But given the increased need and the lack of resources, we're not seeing people on a daily basis now. There are many who receive hot meals 5 days a week, but there are others who are receiving frozen meals, chilled meals, some one time a week. They get five meals, but we're only seeing them one time a week, some two times a week. So pullbacks like that are not good, but balancing the overall picture on what we need to do, the number of people we need to reach and help where we can, that's the decisions that are being made.
So how were you first informed that you're going to have this loss in federal dollars? Was it an email, a phone call?
Yeah, we heard from our friends there at the ACOG, And I think they were probably surprised somewhat too. And again, they are merely the conduit on how the funding comes through us. The decision was made in Austin.
So is this happening across Texas, across the country? What's it look like?
It is happening across Texas and it is happening across the country. And so the over 5,000 Meals on Wheels organizations coast to coast, and they are under strain like never before.
Not every community has, you know, people like Bill Miller and HEB to help out. You know, you got to wonder what's going on there.
That is very, very correct, sir.
And so can you tell me, like, what are your other Meals on Wheels organizations? What are you hearing?
Some are pulling back their services. They are not serving the frequency that they were. Where we've been able to continue five meals but pull back on the days that we're actually seeing them, some are for only serving people one, two, and three times. There are some that are very close to having to close the doors, and these are in the more rural areas that are not as fortunate as we are here, like you mentioned.
And was there a rationale provided, like we have to make these cuts in order to do, I could say something snarky, but I'm not going to, but yeah.
No, they're, yeah, well, we all want to say something snarky, but I'm...
Let's not do that today.
It's not going to help us any. You know, there's...
They would say, this is because of DOGE, this is because of, you know...
You know, this is just a real hyper time in the world that we live in. And politically, it is very unfortunate that it comes down, because we're talking about individuals here who made it possible for you and I to live and work and here in San Antonio. I mean, they built this community to what it is, and yet here we are at a time to give back, and we're not there for them. A lot of blame is being placed upon the pandemic and the increased funding that came into the communities. Yes, there was increased funding that came into organizations like ours, but the need was great. We are underserving the community. We know that. We're serving close to 4,000 people right now on a daily basis. We should be serving close to 6,000. But people were more aware. People called us. Well, just because the money pulls back doesn't mean that need dropped. Just because Congress hasn't invested in Meals on Wheels organizations to help sustain those people, keep them in their homes, you know, it's harmful. Need is growing, and we're having trouble addressing it.
So tell me a story. Give me an example. Who is a client for Meals on Wheels? What kind of person are we talking?
Sure, you know, it is a wide range of people that we serve out there. But for the most part, they are in their mid-80s. For the most part, they are female, and for the most part, they're living by themselves. That doesn't begin to paint the picture. These are people that are in their own homes. Trying to do the best they can, but they can no longer leave their house the way they once could. They can't drive. They can't get to the store to buy food. Should they have food brought into their house, they can't stand long enough to prepare an adequate meal. And they are the people that we don't see. They are behind closed doors. So it is one of the things that I always encourage people when I'm speaking with church groups around. Look around the sanctuary. Who is not here this Sunday on two pews down who you used to see on a regular basis? Think about it. Reach out. In your neighborhood, remember when Mr. Rodriguez used to keep the yard looking so good? The yard doesn't look as well. And when was the last time you saw Mr. Rodriguez? So we need to have more awareness, because these people are really, really indivisible out there.
And that's also one of the benefits of Meals on Wheels, is that you do this constant sort of wellness check on people.
That's correct.
Can you talk about that?
I used to be the guy that jump up on the table and say, no, it's all about the food. It's all about the food. And the food is important. Food, nutrition, everything keys off of that. But the longer I've been in this business, the more that I realize the daily check is every bit as important. It lets people know that they're not forgotten. It gives them a purpose to continue on. But it gives the volunteer, the driver, an opportunity to really lay eyes on that person. What's going on in their house? Do they look okay? Do they sound okay? Are the surroundings safe? Is there a problem of some sort in which we in turn can take action if necessary?
And if there's a problem, then you guys know who to call.
Yes.
And follow up on that. And you, the delivery people, They have begin a relationship. They know the names. They know these people.
Right. We have some volunteers who have been delivering with us for over 20 years. There are many, many relationships developed there. One of the most touching things that I experienced pretty early on in my time here in San Antonio, our friends at Valero had regular routes, and they were delivering this one individual who didn't have any family at all. And they all really almost adopted her. And she lived up until her 90s, but when she passed away, they held a memorial service for her there at the Valero campus, and she was just like family to them. And that's the type of relationships that are built.
So these are things that we can only develop. I mean, it's like have a community, but we got to have community support, you know, and the federal dollars, they're essential. I mean, these are our tax dollars. This is what, you know, what a lot of people want to pay their taxes for, to make sure that we helped the people that need help. We got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. Charlotte, I'm going to give you another chance, try and get you on the air. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, talking about Meals on Wheels in San Antonio. They lost federal dollars. Bill Miller, HEB, stepped up emergency funds. What happens when those funds run out? What are the services that Meals on Wheels provide? And what questions and comments do you have? 833-877-8255. The Source continues right after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartover when you donate a car, truck, or RV to TPR. Visit tpr.careasy.org or call 877-486-1227 to get started.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Meals on Wheels San Antonio. We're joined by Vincent Veras, the CEO of Meals on Wheels, and talking about how the funding shortfall is affecting their operations, the people that they serve, what's being done to fill the gap, how the community can help. The number is 833-877-8255. Charlotte, are you there?
Okay. I have been doing Meals on Wheels. I've been delivering meals for Meals on Wheels since 2008 when I retired. And I'm 78 years old, and some of my clients are 78, but some are 100. And each one is unique. Each one has a life story. And one thing, I don't know if your guest said this, but sometimes Meals on Wheels gets involved in helping them, especially if they've had something real hard. Like, for instance, I've had two clients that also got they couldn't pay their rent, so they were kicked out. But they have people that they can there, and also that they can connect with the city that helps these people, and also in the council, you know, whatever council they're in. So all of those things. I love Meals on Wheels. I love doing this because I get to talk to these people, and they're all so interesting. You know, they may be old, and they may be can't walk or something like that, but they have had interesting lives, and that's what I wanted to say. I'm doing it right now. I'm at a senior citizen kind of place, and I have three clients here. And so, but I stopped when I heard you say that, you know, that I was next. I didn't knock on the door. But it's a wonderful organization. When I was going to say, all the staff there, they are wonderful. The one that community and engagement, Cynthia, she's great. All the people that where we pick up the meals, they are so helpful to us because there are a lot of senior citizens also making the deliveries.
Yeah. Awesome. Charlotte, thank you so much for your call. Vincent, what's a meal look like? What's in the meal?
A meal packs a punch. We have quite a selection here. It's the main entree, a couple of vegetables that goes with it. We may or may not have some bread that day, a lot of fresh fruit. one of the things that we're very fortunate for to be able to do here in San Antonio, we're the largest Meals on Wheels organization in Texas and the Southwest, and one of them in the country that still self-operates our own kitchen. So we get to design the menus, plan the menus, and as such, we get to have some really fun things. It's not some corporate menu that's being cranked out. So it's much more San Antonio tailored.
Enchiladas ever?
A few enchiladas, Napolitos on occasion.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Sally. Hey, Sally, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I wondered if you could explain to me about the program, how Meals on Wheels feeds us at the senior center.
All right, Sally, thank you for that great question. Appreciate it.
Sure. We contract with the city of San Antonio to prepare and provide the meals that are served at the HEAL centers throughout San Antonio. And so we work with the Department of Human Services in planning those menus and making sure that it is what you guys want.
Okay. And let's go next caller. It's Adriana. Adriana, is that it? And you're on the air.
Yes, it is. I am a volunteer, and I just completed my deliveries for the day. And I just wanted to share that not only is what the program provides to individuals, but it provides a lot to us volunteers. As you've heard already, the relationships that we build, the people that we see week in and week out, they give us as much as we give them, sometimes even more. It is such a vital service to be part of lives of people who have, I just turned 79, so I'm probably maybe at the younger end of some of the folks that I deliver to, but they have done so much in their lives for us, and we can't forget them. And while everyone else is collecting their paychecks, folks rely on us, and we just can't forget them. And it's a wonderful, wonderful way to volunteer.
All right, Adriana, thank you so much for calling in with that. So there are people who are, because of their health issues, they may not be elderly, but so you have other people like that?
We do. We have one young man who's 26 years old who was involved in a tragic accident, and he's confined to a wheelchair. So the majority of the folks we see are elderly, but not all of them.
And I read that there's a service y'all provide that you can help people with. They have some home repairs that they need, things like that?
We do. We call it comfy casas. Most of that has to do, and here in San Antonio, is with air conditioning, making sure we have air moving around during the hotter months of the year. But we also do repairs, everything from wheelchair ramps to a lot of bathroom renovations and that sort of thing.
Another caller, Manuel. Manuel, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I want to first say thank you for your services, everything y'all do. I am disabled. I am elderly, but I am still able to take care of myself. And I would like to know how to volunteer, what is required to volunteer with y'all.
Great question, Manuel. Thank you for calling in.
We have a lot of different volunteer opportunities. Those that are most noticeable are the delivery of meals, but we have volunteers we utilize with our friendly visitor services. Here we're just matching a volunteer with an individual client, again, trying to break that isolation of those folks who can't get out. Our friendly visitors, some of them are doing nothing but making phone calls. Some go in and bake cookies with clients while we're working with the bibliothek folks and getting people plugged into the internet, having tablets that they can have an outside reach to the world. So if you're interested, we would love to talk to you. Just give us a call at 210-735-5115 or our website, mowsatx.org, and we would be happy to talk to you, Manuel.
Let's go to Ben on the phones, and Ben, you're on the air.
Thank you. Once again, hey, great, great show. How did Meals on Wheels started, and then, like, who started this? And then, like, if you want to feed, like, say, the San Antonio Jail, you know, take some, how do you start something like this? Thank you so much.
Ben, thank you for that. How did you get started here?
Well, Meals on Wheels here in San Antonio came out of the two downtown Lutheran churches, St. John's and Grace Lutheran. They started really serving their older members of the congregations. St. John's had the bigger kitchen, while Grace had a very nice fellowship hall. So the way it evolved was the meal started being prepared out of St. John's, people who could no longer come down and enjoy a fun day there at their center. And so that's how Meals on Wheels started. The senior center, so to speak, that they had at Grace actually evolved into our Alzheimer's
centers. When was this?
This was in the mid-70s.
Okay. And so it started faith-based, and then it transitioned to being, how would you describe it now compared to that?
We are still, very, very close to all of the churches across San Antonio. But again, because the need was so great, this was at a time in the mid to late 70s that there was other funding available. And in order to meet that need, we started looking for other funding out there. And so that's where other funding streams started coming in.
And so now we're seeing these federal dollars, some of them drying up. What does that look like going into the future? Now, we had Bill Miller and we had HEB emergency funding, and HEB is also providing emergency funding to food banks across the state. But what is, when that money runs out, what's going to happen?
It's scary. And I've had some people say, Vincent, you need to look elsewhere past the governmental monies. And I understand that, and I hear that, but there is really not enough philanthropic dollars to address the need. And overall, aging services, aging issues nationally, there's only 1% of philanthropic dollars that are going in that direction. And so it's a challenge. It is a real challenge. And looking forward to the immediate future here, we have 931 people on our waiting list right now. These are people that are waiting for a grant-supported meal. And that we're not going to be able to see them for probably 10 to 12 months at the earliest. But at $2,200 a year to serve them, to put all these let's say 900 people on, we would need at least $2 million right now to serve them for a year. Average length of time on Meals on Wheels services is about 3.5 years. So we need a $6 million commitment just to take care of the people that we have on our waiting list right now. And so it is a pretty big challenge out there, but we are doing everything we can because the community is supporting us now, but we hope that they can support us in greater ways.
So have you heard from other possible donors, civic organizations that do want to step up? I mean, beyond HEB and Bill Miller?
Yes. We, others, the San Antonio Area Foundation, the Mays Foundation, we even have Tito's Vodka that is coming in with some money here. I mean, people are all over. United Way, we are a longtime partner of United Way, and they are allowing us to redirect some of their funding here for the immediate future till we could pass this bump in the road.
So what would a sustainable model look like for Meals on Wheels San Antonio?
It's going to take all of us doing it, and we need those who, the clients who can help contribute toward the cost of their meals to step up and do so, but we need a lot more people backing the services.
Vincent Ferris, CEO of Meals on Wheels San Antonio, good to have you back in the studio talking about this, and we're going to be reporting on all of this hunger crisis in San Antonio. This is critical. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.